We present Slaughter in the Dark by Marius Brill, with Paul B. Davis as Jack Dunrudy. Episode 1, Blind Man's Buff.
Listen. Welcome inside my head. Quiet, isn't it? Close your eyes. What can you see? Nothing much? Likewise. Maybe it's dark. Wouldn't know. I can't necessarily know what dark is. It happens at night. I've just never seen it. If you can see dark, that is. I do know that when you're in it, you're about as close as you can get to seeing things my way. I've tasted it, though. Bitter chocolate, strong coffee, they're dark. Dark has a hard edge. You got to understand, in here, when you're blind, every day looks the same. Just because you can't see, doesn't mean your other senses become any more acute. We're not somehow extrasensory. We just take more notice of the ones we have. So, maybe a detective's not the usual job for a man with only 4 out of 5. But in here, I'm a private, without the eye. Got an office measured in heartbeats and breaths, in echoes and paces. Got a desk, a filing cabinet, a phone, and a door. Work and trouble walk right through it. I'd heard her 20 seconds before she turned the handle. Footfalls, about 8 stone on stilettos. Wasn't expecting her voice. Soft as down, deep as Hades.
Mr. Dunrudy? Hello? Is anybody there?
Came from about 5'6" at the door. I angled my head, 20 degrees in my shades. It's Jack. Hi. Come in.
You're there. I'm sorry, I can't see a thing. Your light's gone?
Oh, excuse me. Doing some thinking on a case. Work best with the lights out. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. I do understand. My name is Susie Damore.
I could feel her slinking nearer. I caught her breath. She was closer than a wet day in July. Well, Mrs. Damore, what a great pleasure. I've often heard your husband sing. You could spread his voice on toast and it would still drip down your best tie. So, how can I help you?
It's Herbert. My cat.
Your cat?
He's gone missing. I'll make it worth your while.
My while wasn't worth a shoulder of dandruff, but I wasn't going to shake my head at this one. She put her hand on mine and I could feel the pulse along her thumb. Her skin was cool and silkier than a pair of drawers. At least the pair with handles in my filing cabinet. They stick like a murder rap to a teetotaler at an arsenic drinks party. Well, she was pretty upset. How could I refuse? After all, I had the ultimate cat hunter working for me. Watson. My eyes. My guide dog. Part retriever, part bloodhound. One sniff of the cat's toy mouse and you'd find him in a trice. That is, if Herbert was hiding in a trice. It was the sort of night you go out for a drink, you get one before reaching the corner. The kind of weather Noah would have been yelling, "I told you so!" And here we were, taking the dog for a swim.
What beastly weather.
Oh, Freddy, come away from the window. I'm sure Herbert's found shelter.
It's not your damn cat I'm worried about, Susie. It's your husband, Sasha. You know his voice isn't what it used to be. What if he gets a cold? He's got the show tomorrow. All we need is a frog with a frog in his throat. How is that mutt doing?
Watson's fine. He'll sniff Herbert out sure as he would a bitch's bottom. Oh, and thereby hangs a tail.
I'm sure I don't want to hear it. You know, Susie, if he doesn't make it tomorrow, his career will be over. He's deep in debt, and if he goes down, I go too. I could just kill him.
He'll be fine. Don't worry. He went out with a nice hot cup of coffee inside.
I'm sorry, my love. It's the producer's job to worry. I think I do it rather well.
Excuse me. I couldn't help hearing. Are you expecting your husband back here, Mrs. Damore?
Yes.
I do hope I can meet him. I've always been a big fan. I have all his highly originally titled records, from D'Amour Amour and D'Amour Detour to More D'Amour.
Mom, Mrs. Trump has polished the silver and put the milk out for Master Herbert's return. Smith is at the pictures, and Draindredge will be in the morning to do the weeds. I was wondering if there was anything more you may be needing, else me and Mrs. Trump will be turning in now.
Underwood, I'd like you to meet Jack Dunrudy. He's here to help us find Herbert.
Pleased to meet you.
And you. Madam, will that be all?
Yes, thank you. Good night, Underwood.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, gentlemen.
Dashed inconsiderate of Sasha. He knows I fret. Oh, what's the time?
About 9:30.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go. I've got dinner with Bertie at 2200. He always makes me pay if I'm late. Is that okay?
It's fine. You head off.
Oh, get him off my coat! Get your blasted hound's teeth out of my house, too!
He scented something in your pocket.
Well, whatever he scented, it's none of his business. Oh, but obviously isn't in my pocket.
No, of course not.
Well, darling, goodbye.
Good night, Freddy.
And good night to you, Mr. Dunrudy.
Now, I didn't know what was going on with this Freddy character. I could tell he enjoyed my company in the same acid way that Dr. Crippen enjoyed a good bath. But then, why should he like me? Because I'm blind? Let me tell you. You get to a certain age when the meaning of sympathy just runs out. I mean, how could a sighted person really be sympathetic? Poke his eyes out? So, after casing the house, I thought I'd pack it in. Just a quick wade around the garden with Watson. But instead of taking me up the stairs and back in through the French windows, he headed down some steps and into the cellar. It smelled like dusty stale bread being rebaked, unmistakably coal. I felt for a light switch to help Watson, but there didn't seem to be one. There were other smells there too, a sort of solvent odor like silver cleaner and the slightest whiff of almonds.
Herbert? Herbert! There, there. Found you. You're all right. Hell. Are you all right? Damn.
I ran my hand over Serge. The suit was expensive. So, I reckon, was the body inside it, lying there in the coal dust. I felt along to the pulse. Wrist was like ice, still as a pint of poutine. A man from the stubble. His left ear trickled with thick, tepid liquid. As it ran onto my fingers, I could feel it harden and congeal. I could feel the rough powder burn around the lobe. I rifled the pocket for ID. Then Watson, faithful Watson, dropped me in at the deep end.
What is it, boy? What have you found? Warm metal. A gun. Oh, no.
It came from down here, officer. Shine the torch over there. My God, Jack, what have you done? You mad, mad fool. Why this? Why shoot Sasha? Oh, love, we do such terrible things in its name. I love you, but there must have been another way. Not murder. Prison will not break our tryst. I love you is the only important sentence. Love is an irregular verb that we cannot decline.
Well, at least she wasn't anti-Semitic. It was a great little act she was doing for the copper, and I was kind of enjoying the performance. She kissed like a shaken vac ad. I shook and she vacuumed. It was like she was trying to clean my shoes out from the inside with her tongue. I thought I'd play along with her game a little longer.
That's enough, Dunwoody. Step away from the lady and come out with your hands above your head.
My darling, it looks like this is goodbye. One more before we part.
I'll have to think fast to get out of this one. I guess that protesting my innocence with my prints all over the weapon and a motive as curvaceous as Susie was pointless.
Oh, I love you so forceful. But now you'd better do what the policeman says.
No way, Flatfoot. You'll have to come in and take me.
If that's the way you want it.
I knew that there was only one light source, his torch. I knew how to get about blind. He didn't. I knew I mustn't let him go close enough to get the cuffs on me. He was one whiff of his pizza breath away when I lunged. Caught the torch with my elbow, sent it spinning.
Right! Gotcha!
Get off! It's him you want!
I got out again faster than a vindaloo on a pub crawl. Watson at my side. I'd just lost my client and my pay packet. Pointless to go back to my office. By now it would be crawling with more boys in blue than a quick-fit employee's convention. I needed somewhere to piece things together. Thought I'd check out Charlie's all-night greasy spoon.
Hey, Charlie, your spoon is still greasy.
Well, do us a favour and wash it off in your coffee. How are you, Jack? I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah, well, I've never seen you, and you don't get me complaining. Now, listen, I'm on a murder rap, but I've been framed. I need a place to lie low.
What did you do? Get a Boy Scout run over?
That's what I like about you, Charlie. Your charming sensitivity to people with disabilities. You're as tactful as a sunny day on the Solent.
Now back to that news story about the murder of the famous crooner, Sacha D'Amour.
Quick, turn it up!
His records include the immortal D'Amour on tour, Core, It's D'Amour, and four more D'Amour scores. Known as the man with the golden throat, it was insured with his life for £5 million. Mr. D'Amour was shot a few hours ago at his mansion in Highgate. Police are currently on the trail of his murderer, Mr. Jack Dunwoody, who was last seen wearing dark glasses, a Macintosh, and a Trilby hat.
It's serious.
It has come to light that he was the lover of Mr. D'Amour's wife, the ex-singer Susie Soubois.
What?
She is currently under 24-hour police protection, after fears of her lover fulfilling a suicide pact that they had made was revealed by Mrs. D'Amour. In a short interview with the press, she made this statement.
Jack, sweetheart, it's no good. You're going to have to give yourself up. Please, I couldn't bear to lose the two people I love in the same night.
Mrs. D'Amour was comforted by her husband's producer.
I bet she was. Another cappuccino, Charlie.
Coming up.
Oh, and this time, can I have some coffee at the bottom of the froth?
I was in more trouble than a jaywalker being interviewed by the West Midlands Serious Crime Squad. Now, the way I saw it... How much of this language is about seeing things? See here, my good man. Try to see it my way. The way I see it. Check my watch. Visualize this. Anyway, the way I saw it, if I could see... Susie didn't kill D'Amour. She was with that copper at the time, but she was definitely in on the kill. That D'Amour's career was on the skids. Could it have been arranged suicide? You don't collect insurance on a suicide. They had to make it look convincing. That's where I come in. Now she was going to collect a handsome insurance premium on death, and all I was going to collect was life.
You lucky bugger. You lucky blind bugger. How come a woman like that Susie Soubois goes for someone like you? I sprinkle sawdust on better-looking things than you.
Et tu, Charlie?
Yes, thank you. I've had me dinner. Shame about that D'Amour bloke. Got a few of his records.
Charlie, you haven't got any of them here, have you?
Yeah, in the back.
Could you get them?
Sure. Here they are. These covers are a bit dusty. Here's one. D'Amour Rapport.
Is D'Amour on the cover?
Yes, why?
What's he wearing?
Sequin waistcoat, white jacket and white flares.
How tight are his trousers?
Ooh, any tighter and he'd be singing soprano.
Which way is he dressed?
I just told you.
Which way is he hanging?
He's sort of leaning forward.
Look, I'll put it in plain English. On what leg is his packet?
You what?
I was just trying to figure out.
whether he was right or left-handed. If he's right-handed, he'd dress to the left and vice versa.
Well, it's on his right leg. No, he's facing me, his left leg.
Right-handed. Shot himself in the left ear with his right hand? No, maybe it was murder. I figured when the heat died down, I'd go back to the house, check out that coal cellar. Perhaps there was a back way into the garden. I'd have to come back in the dark. Darkness, the blind man's friend. The garden wall was no problem, but this time I couldn't bring Watson with me. I paced through the grass. It was damp and elastic beneath my shoes. It was just luck that I didn't step in anything Watson had left the night before. I'd counted the steps that night. That's one thing you can get obsessive about when you're in a new place. Measuring. Counting. Well, hell, I'm not staring at the landscape, am I? My hand touched a beech. 20 paces, a bush. 30 paces, a house wall. The steps to the cellar. The door. I was in. I could breathe easy. But I breathed different. The coal, it still smelled the same, but a smell, a sound was missing. Of course. Last time I could probably hear Damore's breathing. But the smell, what was it? Brasso and almonds. Almonds. Bitter almonds. Cyanide. The idea of Damore committing suicide vanished faster than a short-sighted train spotter. It was murder. Damore wasn't shot. He was poisoned. That's why he was cold. He was taken down, already dead, into the cellar. And when I came in, bang. The force of the bullet made him drop. Someone shot him. Someone who could get out of there before the police searched it. There must be another door. Into the house.
Listen, Freddy, sweetheart, I think it's far too early to bring out Sasha's greatest hits.
We could call it Your Store of Damore, or One More Encore for Damore.
Poor Damore, more like. He left me nothing but debts.
Let's not forget the fat insurance check.
That's only when they have a conviction, and they still haven't found Dunrudy.
It's only a matter of time.
So's death, Freddy.
Pardon me, ma'am. I have brought a little token of the staff's condolences. Something to remember the late master by.
Oh, thank you, Underwood. Yet another copy of Damore Raw. How thoughtful.
Mum, I've turned down the beds and put out the cocoa if you're going to have an early night.
And very thoughtful of you too, Mrs. Trump. You're quite spoiling me.
Well, you are the lady of the house now.
I am quite tired. Today has been exhausting. Look, Freddy, I think I'll be turning in. We'll talk about the project in the morning.
Capital. Get a good night's sleep, my love. Good night, Underwood. Mrs. Trump.
Suddenly, I had a murder and a motive. I was in the alley behind the house in moments. I waited in the cold shadows. A streetlight buzzed like the entire night was on a fuse ready to blow. Hold it right there, Freddy. Oh. I think we've got some major talking to do.
Ow! Get that out of my ribs. Oh, what is it?
Well, let me give you a hint. It's not my finger. It's ecologically unsound and it's leaded. So just do as I say.
Right. Definitely. Absolutely.
We caught a taxi to his bedsit. Smells of damp blankets and bleach. As we went upstairs, I kept the pencil poking through my pocket. The safety catch was off.
Sorry. There isn't much room. This is what producing the great Damore has got me.
Nothing a cool 5 million wouldn't fix.
Oh, I say, you don't think I'm moving in on your Susie?
My Susie?
Well, absolutely everybody knows about you two. That's why you murdered him.
I didn't murder him. You did.
How could I? I was miles away.
You were in that coal cellar with me. You're a military man. Heard you tell the time by the 24-hour clock. Now, the only other people who do that are railwaymen, and I can't see you coupling a crew. Although I hear some people do. Anyway, you'd have had access to a gun. It all fits in.
Maybe I am Sandhurst, but my good man, why should I murder my one and only meal ticket?
For the love of a good woman.
You mean my mother wanted him dead?
Not your mother, Susie.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything between you and her, but good is not a word I'd use to describe her. I mean, she's downright saucy.
Saucy, hmm?
Don't you know about her career before she met Sasha?
The first time I met her was yesterday. Now I'm her lover and her husband's killer. It would be interesting to find out who the hell she is.
Susie is trouble. I think her mother died when she was a babe. Her father was in service. They were so poor.
They were so poor when they went to the lavatory to spend a penny, they had to leave IOUs. They couldn't even afford to coin a phrase. She started her singing career in Paris out of the sort of club in Pigalle, which was more interested in vital statistics than vocal cords.
But Sasha saved her. With him, she was still in there somehow. I'd be finished in the business if Susie and I had anything.
Like I said, nothing 5 million wouldn't fix.
What? And lose every friend I've got? My life's work?
His life's work? Canapés, launch parties, and a couple of lines of coke for breakfast. I had to believe him. The guy couldn't conduct electricity, let alone an organized life. And forget murder. Einstein, you were right. This guy was so dense, time slowed down when you neared him. The killer had to be someone who knew what they were doing. While I had the advantage, I had to use the dark. Now I knew how to sneak into the house. Susie was my last chance. If I could just get to talk to her, I'd nail the murderer and maybe wallpaper him too. She had said she was going to bed. I knew she was there. I could smell her scent. I didn't turn the light on. Thought a softer approach would work.
Mrs. D'Amour. Mrs. D'Amour. Wake up. Don't make a sound. One peep out of you and I'll shoot. You set me up bad. Now I want some answers, right? All right, very clever. You can talk. Just keep it down. Mrs. D'Amour? Susie.
She was cold. Her hands were chillier than a summer's day on the beach at Skegness. I knew that feel. She was dead. I ran my hand over her face, closed her eyes. She lay sprawled and awkward on the bed, her mouth hung open. Her lip was wet. I touched it. Chocolate and almonds. It was either a dodgy bar of Toblerone or her mug lay in a damp patch on the carpet. Cyanide. Whoever she had set me up with had just cancelled their contract. Same MO, no doubt the same killer. I'm not sure what made me feel worse. Her death or the loss of my last clue to my frame-up. Susie had been my last chance. I felt like one hot can of Guinness in the dark and under pressure. I was in trouble and about to get in a whole lot more.
Gotta hide.
Good night, Susie girl.
Thomas Underwood, shush, shush, she's asleep. Most unbutler-like. Don't wake her. Come on. Just time for Horlicks before bed.
Just my breathing seemed deafening under the bed. I was picturing the headlines. Mad lover fulfills bizarre suicide pact. And Susie Soubois, saucy suicide. Soubois? Why hadn't I thought of that before? Soubois. Soubois. Why hadn't I thought in French? That's where she started. That was her stage name. Soubois. The only one who would benefit from Susie's death would be her next of kin. And I finally realized that they were right there in the house with me.
Nothing like Horlicks before bed, is there, Thomas? Makes you feel you really earned it.
Too right, laddies. And I dare say we have in many ways.
Terribly quiet without Mr. D'Amour doing his silly scales all the time. Here you go.
Thank you, my dear.
Hold it right there. I'll shoot if you move. Put down your cups.
My God, it's him. It's that Jack Dunroody fella.
What do you want?
You thought you'd figured everything out, but you need a lot of sheep before you pull the wool over my eyes.
You're going straight to Holloway without passing go, without collecting 5 million. I've always wanted to say the butler did it, but I can't. Can I, Mrs. Trump? Or should I say, Mrs. Underwood? Your recent marriage wasn't much of a secret. But, Underwood, I reckon you wouldn't kill your own daughter.
What do you mean, kill?
Susie Savoir, or to anglicise that, Underwood, is lying in her bedroom right now with enough chemicals inside her to start a franchise with ICI.
What do you mean, kill?
I'm sorry, Mr. Underwood. Susie's dead.
Dead?
Yes, perhaps your new wife could give you the details.
You're joking. I saw her a moment ago. Yeah. What have you done with her?
When I was in that cellar, there was someone else there, and they had a certain odour about them. Solvent smell. Brasso, or perhaps silver polish.
Mom, Mrs. Trump has polished the silver and put the milk out for Master Herbert's return.
And now Susie seems to have also died from cyanide, administered, strangely enough, in a cup of cocoa.
Mom, I've turned down the beds and put out the cocoa if you're going to have an early night.
So, instead of whatever payoff Susie was going to give you, Mrs. Trump, you're now in for half the money which goes to your husband, Susie's next of kin, her father, Thomas Underwood. But I doubt it was going to stop at murdering your stepdaughter, was it, Mrs. Trump?
Don't listen to him, Tom.
Oh, see, you're strung up for this.
String along with me and play a little game I call Swap the Mugs with the Cyanide in Them. Mr. Underwood, you have Mrs. Trump's Horlicks, and Mrs. Trump, you have Underwood's.
You're crazy.
I promise to give myself up to the police as soon as you've finished your nice, refreshing beverages. Well, come on, then.
Oh, well, let's get this over and done with.
No, Tom. We shouldn't listen to him.
Come on, drink.
He murdered your daughter.
Why aren't you drinking, Mrs. Trump?
Mm. Come on, Alice. Let's get it down, you.
No.
Why not?
I don't feel like it. That man scares me.
Just a sip.
No.
No? Gladys. Gladys?
I was off the hook after the Horlicks was analysed and Sasha was dragged out for post-mortem. Amazingly, Underwood seemed to know nothing about Susie and Trump's plan. Freddie sent me a few of Sasha's records. D'Amour You Can't Ignore, the rare Obscure D'Amour, and the latest posthumous album, D'Amour He's Dead. I thought I'd have a tough time convincing the law that I really wasn't involved, but there are, believe it or not, some advantages in having a disability. Just whip off your glasses and people believe you. More able people somehow think that you can't possibly lie, as if losing sight or hearing or a limb means also losing the ability to lie. That somehow you're retarded and don't have the same lusts and dark desires that having 5 working senses makes inevitable. Well, they can go right on believing that. I'm not going to tell them. I kind of like it that way.
In episode 1 of Slaughter in the Dark by Marius Brill, Paul B. Davis was Jack Dunrudy, Prunella G. was Susie D'Amour, and Timothy Carlton, Freddy. William Edel was Underwood, Joe Anderson, Mrs. Trump, John White, Charlie, and Watson the dog, Tim Meets. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Slaughter in the Dark is directed by Andy Jordan.